Good evening. Here we are, Maundy Thursday. This service is a really special service for many of us. For some of us, the power comes in the stripping of the altar, which happens at the very end of the service. For others of us, the power comes in the beautiful chanting of Psalm 22. For others of us, it's probably the message, right? Thank you. Thank you. Now, for most of us, the climax of Maundy Thursday is the foot washing. It's the foot washing, which we are going to do together here in just a few minutes. Many of us look forward to that foot washing months in advance. We mark Maundy Thursday on our calendar. We look forward to this time to come together, and we look forward especially to that moment of having our feet washed. Tonight, Maundy Thursday is about remembering that day 2,000 years ago, the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night before he was arrested and put to death. What happened that night? What happened? What are we remembering? Well, we know that what happened, one of the things that happened that night was the foot washing. But did you know that that same night, that was the night, if you heard it in the collect, that same night was the night that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Jesus, that night, presided over a meal. A meal that is as significant tonight as it was 2,000 years ago. All four gospel writers give accounts of this night. Three of them talk only about the Lord's Supper and not about the foot washing. And one of them, John, talks only about the foot washing and not about the Lord's Supper. Could it be that both of these events, the Lord's Supper and the washing of the disciples' feet, are somehow related? Could it be that they point us in the same direction and that they stir our hearts in similar ways? I have to say, you know, at the outset, that I'm not saying that these, I'm not trying to equate these two things. You know, we celebrate the Lord's Supper as a sacrament. In other words, Jesus promised, he vowed to us that he would uniquely accompany the elements of bread and wine when we celebrate at the table. It is not dependent on us. When we come to the table in faith, he will meet us. He will be there. The foot washing, on the other hand, is an object lesson. It was his last teaching to the disciples. But maybe, just maybe, both of these things are trying to point us in the same direction. Maybe the foot washing wasn't just a random last-minute teaching that Jesus thought, oh, I better make sure they get this before I'm gone. Maybe it's somehow tied together. Maybe the foot washing draws us to the table. And maybe they both are meant to draw us to the cross. The foot washing and the Lord's Supper. Two things, two very big events that happened on that night before Jesus was arrested. So we're going to look at two questions briefly tonight regarding these two events that happened. The foot washing and the Lord's Supper. What do both of these reveal to us? And what do both of these require of us? What do they reveal to us? What do they require of us? The first, what do they reveal to us? Both of these events reveal to us Christ's willingness to be broken. Christ's willingness to be broken. You know, we often think about, when we think about the foot washing, we think about Jesus and his willingness to be a servant to all. That is, after all, the role that he took on that night, the role of a common house slave, washing the feet of his disciples. Is Jesus willing to be a servant to all? Absolutely. Of course he is. That is totally true. Amen. But there is more. John, when he tells us about the foot washing, tells us that it's more than just about Jesus being a servant to all. It starts in the first verse of John's account of the foot washing. John says this. He gives us a glimpse into what Jesus is thinking as he's preparing to wash the disciples' feet. He says this. Jesus, wanting to love them to the very end. Wanting to love them to the very end. What did John mean when he said love them to the very end? I think he meant two things. The first is this. I think he meant Jesus wanted to love them to the fullest extent. The absolute fullest extent. So Jesus wasn't only willing to become a slave to his disciples, he was willing to become a sacrifice for the disciples. He loved them to the end. Not just to the fullest extent, I think John means that he loved them to the end of his physical life. He loved them to the very end. And we have that record, Jesus hanging on the cross, and some of his last words are, "Father, forgive them." The foot washing doesn't just reveal to us that Jesus is willing to humble himself to the place of a servant. It reveals to us that Jesus is willing to humble himself to the very place of death. John gives us another clue. He makes the point even further when he talks about how Jesus washed their feet. He says that Jesus took off his outer garments and laid them aside. That phrase, laid them down, is used 5 other times by John, and every time he uses that phrase, it's not anymore to talk about garments. It's describing the sacrificial laying down of one's life. John is giving us clues all throughout his story that this isn't just about serving, it is about Jesus being broken. Broken. But Jesus wasn't just putting on an act that night. Jesus wasn't just pretending. Jesus wasn't just saying, "Okay, I'll pretend to be your servant tonight, although I am your God. This is a big act." No, Jesus was saying, "I am your servant and your God. I will humble myself, not just as a slave, but to death. I, Jesus, will put my money where my mouth is. I will go all the way to the cross." That's the Lord's Supper, that's the foot washing. He makes the point even further, even more clearly at the Lord's table, right? He breaks the bread and says, "This is no common meal, disciples. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out. I, Jesus, am broken and poured out for you." Both the Lord's Supper and the foot washing reveal to us Christ's willingness to be absolutely broken for us. So that's one thing that they reveal to us. What do they require of us? Because these, the Lord's Supper and the foot washing, they aren't passive activities that we can come to. They both carry with them an inescapable challenge. We too must be broken. In order to feel the full weight of the foot washing and to feel the full weight at the Lord's Supper, we must recognize our brokenness. At the foot washing, Jesus says to his disciples, "I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet." A few verses later, he says, "Love one another just as I have loved you." In other words, Jesus is saying, "Follow my lead. Follow my lead." And what has he modeled for us? To serve? Absolutely. But even more, Jesus laid down his life for us. He has modeled laying down his life for others, becoming broken for others. And we are to love in the same way, by laying down our lives, by becoming broken. Again, not in a charade, pretending that we are below those that we're serving. Service without recognition of our own brokenness is not service at all. You could call it something else. You could call it charity. You could call it pity. But that is not what Jesus has modeled for us. He has modeled serving from a place of brokenness. It's in our weakness that we ought to serve one another. In our humility. That's what it means when Jesus says, love others just as I have loved you. Laying down our lives for each other. By that, I don't mean like laying down your career and moving to the other side of the planet in order to be a missionary. I don't mean it that way. Rather, what I mean is to serve people in your life with a recognition that you are broken. Living into Paul's words that say, count others more significant than yourself. Count others more significant than yourself. The foot washing and the Lord's Supper require each of us to face our own brokenness. We must recognize it. Think about the disciples that day. In order to let Jesus wash their feet, they had to lay aside their pride. Maybe some of them there thought, I don't need any serving, Jesus. They had to lay that aside. Maybe others thought, you know, Jesus, I'll just serve myself. I'm capable of serving myself. Instead, that day, the disciples recognized their weakness, their helplessness, and their brokenness, and Jesus washed their feet. How much more is that true at the Lord's table? When we come to the table, when we take Jesus' body broken, Jesus' blood poured out, it's as if to say, Jesus, I too am broken. I need you. I am in debt to you, and rather than judging me, you poured yourself out for me. I need you. Tonight, tomorrow, and in the days leading to Easter, we have an opportunity to reflect on brokenness. Our own brokenness, our own weakness, but also on His willingness to be broken for us. Let's fix our eyes and our hearts on the broken one. Amen.